Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Walking around Oakland, Berkeley, or San Francisco, you are bound to be greeted by a vibrant mural, often with a strong message. Murals represent one legacy of art and activism deeply rooted in the Bay Area. Emery Douglas's iconic illustrations captured the plight of Black Americans during the 60s and 70s in the Black Panther Party's newspaper. Juan Fuentes' bold posters and prints have beautifully illuminated various struggles, from farm workers to Native American and anti-war movements. Today, artists, activists, and technologists continue that rich Bay Area tradition, employing creative tactics to question, inform, engage, and propel collective social change. The Yerba Buena Center for the Arts exhibit, Take This Hammer, Art and Media Activism in the Bay Area, features 18 participants presenting a wide range of political engagement, from overt to subtle, from protest to data visualizations. Curator Christian Frock writes, quote, "Take This Hammer delves into the role art has to play in expanding the possibilities for action, the tools at our disposal online, and the powerful social movements coming out of the Bay Area today." The work in the exhibition explores present-day tactical gestures aimed at impacting important social issues, including racial justice, wealth disparity, gentrification, displacement, police brutality, the prison industrial complex, and the environment. Christian Frock is a guest curator at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts for the exhibit Take This Hammer. Christian is an independent curator, writer, and educator. Invisible Venue, the enterprise she founded and has directed since 2005, collaborates with artists to present art in public spaces. And Christian joins me in studio. Hi, Christian. Thank you for coming in and congratulations on this incredible exhibit.
Thank you so much for having me.
And also joining me in studio are two artists showing in the Take This Hammer exhibit. Fabiana Rodriguez is an artist, cultural organizer, and political activist based in Oakland. Her art and collaborative projects address migration, economic inequality, gender justice, and ecology. Fabiana is the executive director of Culture Strike, a national arts organization that works with artists, writers, and performers in migrant rights. And Fabiana also joins me in studio. Hi, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And we're joined by Ori Original. Ori is an Oakland-based artist working across painting, printing, and digital media who's committed to the social transformation of marginalized communities and promoting justice for people killed by police. Ori balances his art and activism by sharing his skills with the community and beyond. And Ori also joins me in studio. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. So, Christian, I want to start off with you. The title of the exhibit, Take This Hammer, was borrowed from a 1963 film of the same name featuring James Baldwin. Tell us about it. Why Take This Hammer?
Why Take This Hammer? Why for the title of the exhibition? Around the time that I was invited to work on the show, I had stumbled across the film online on YouTube and had watched the film. And I think we're in a moment right now when we're revisiting a lot of Baldwin's work, and it's extremely prescient in many ways, the film itself, in terms of the kinds of situations we're looking at in San Francisco and in the Bay Area in general. And so I was really inspired by this idea of giving away agency, and Take This Hammer is inclusive in that the viewer is invited to participate. And I was also interested in the idea, the Brechtian idea of art being the hammer with which to shape culture. So those two ideas together.
And you take on so many issues in this exhibit. Can you talk about the process that went on behind the scenes? Because, I mean, we're talking about inequality, gentrification, gun violence, prisons, immigration, the environment. I mean, you're taking on all of the major issues.
Well, the artists are taking on the issues. I'm actually taking on the artists. And these are issues that are extremely relevant right now as we approach an election, and also just in public life in general. I'm very interested in how I have for a long time been very interested in how artists confront violence in public space. And there is that overarching theme in the exhibition as well. There's a strong look at how violence is implicated in these concerns as well. And so it was mostly, for me, it was about looking at what artists are doing right now, the kinds of work that they're doing, the range of possibilities for responding to things, and all of those different issues come up when you start to look at what artists are doing right now.
What really struck you when you were deciding who to include in the exhibit and looking at the different kinds of work that's happening right now in response to a lot of these issues?
I wanted to look at a range of participation, and so looking from, you know, the grassroots activism, which we know very well. This is not the first time Favi and I have worked together. We've worked on other projects as well, and we're very familiar with grassroots activism. I think even if you're not familiar with how protest is implicated in the history of art, you're familiar with images of protest. But I was also interested in these other kinds of what I call soft politics, these other ways of engaging with politics that weren't overt demonstrations in the street, these other sort of more subtle interventions and commentary about public life.
Ori, I have been a fan of your work without knowing that you were the artist behind it, so it's great to have you on today. Your piece at Take This Hammer is part of your Justice for Our Lives project. It's dedicated to promoting justice for people killed by police. And you have these, how do you describe it? Is it paintings? Drawings?
Designs?
Designs.
Yeah.
So designs of Trayvon Martin, Alex Nieto, Brandy Martell, Jordan Davis, Eric Garner, Sandra Bland. They're all of these portraits that are blanketing two walls at the exhibit. And this is called the Justice for Our Lives Project. Uh-huh. How did you come up with this concept?
Well, I started the project January 1st, 2014, after coming back from the annual vigil that they have for Oscar Grant at the Fruitvale Station. So I was inspired by that that day to create a quick portrait of Oscar Grant that honored his name. But previous to that, I had been inspired by the Black Lives Matter movement that was maybe like 5 months old at the time. And as far as our project, Portraits of People Killed by Police, there's an art collective called Dignidad Rebelde, which is also in Take This Hammer, Melanie Cervantes and Jesus Barraza. So they had big deal of inspiration for me to create this project. And it's a project that has been evolving. It wasn't called Justice for Our Lives when I first started it. So it's an ongoing project now, maybe like 2.5 years.
And the portraits of these people who have been killed by police are on shirts, they're on banners, they're on, you can see them in the Mission, for example, pasted mm-hmm. on walls. What's it been like for you to see so many people using these portraits to send a message about so many people who've been killed by police?
So I present these designs as templates for people to manipulate and use in different ways. So that's the reason why these designs are so simple, just black and white, which allows people to use them in different ways, and that's been the intent. And with the power of social media, it has allowed for that to happen. I state on my website that these designs are available for free for people to use, and that's what has been happening.
And we should say that these are not people who've just been killed by police, but killed by racism and oppression. Specifically, in the case of Jordan Davis, we did a show about Jordan Davis, who was killed in the parking lot of a gas station in Florida mm-hmm. when he and his friends pulled up next to a white man who didn't like the fact that they were blaring music.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when I first started this project, I had the intent, well, primarily to talk about how racism through police brutality affects people of color. That was the primary focus, but I also covered stories like Jordan Davis and other folks that were killed like by vigilantes, not necessarily police. But as this project has progressed, I try to make this more concentrated to talk about folks killed by police.
And Faviana, what do you think of this project and the influence that it has had, specifically Ori's project?
Well, Ori and I are really great friends, and I've been really excited to see how responsive, and I see him spend hours and hours, like I see him at his computer drawing, and I understand the labor that goes into it. But also to make something that people can own, reuse, fundraise from, and just honor their loved ones is so critical, because an image is a record in history. It creates a moment and a memory that will always be there. And so the act of making a portrait in a stylized way that's easily shareable allows people to honor the person they love. And I think that's a huge gift. That's something that artists and Ori in particular, the way that he contributes to the pain and the suffering that honestly our families are feeling, our community is feeling, is through memory, through honoring and making sure that these stories are not forgotten, and that there's also justice, protest, resistance, and grieving.
Ori, can you talk about what that process is like when you spend, like, how much time do you spend on these portraits, and where do you get the photos of the young men, mostly men, but some women also? Where do you get their photos, and what is it like to spend so much time with sometimes on this person you've never met?
When I first started this project, I think it was maybe the first three designs, I hand drew these. So I just was looking at the image on the computer and I just drew them by hand. It took a little longer than what I had time for. So I ended up just, and I don't want to describe the whole process, but I pretty much kind of just trace it on Photoshop. Makes it a lot quicker. It used to take maybe a few days, so now it takes maybe 4 or 6 hours. Hmm. But it still is labor intensive, because there's even though it doesn't necessarily come out like that, but there's a lot of attention to detail, or at least making it look in a simplistic way. It's definitely a process. It takes time. It's time out of my day, which can equal money for some people. And I'm a person who needs to pay rent, and all that. So it definitely. It's quite an undertaking.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to post some of these on our KALW Facebook page because, they're really striking. The one that really got me was Justin for Tyrone West. You can almost sort of feel his personality in this piece. Mm-hmm. Tyrone West, 44, died after a struggle with Baltimore police officers on July 18th, 2013, during a traffic stop. He was profiled and pulled over for the usual reasoning of suspicious activity. Based on eyewitness accounts, he was beaten to death by the officers during a struggle. He resisted arrest. I mean, Christian, what has the response been specifically to this exhibit?
To exhibition overall?
Ori's exhibit.
Ori's installation has received a lot of amazing press and a lot of attention in the galleries. People stay there with the work a long time. We also have a coloring station in the Grand Lobby where people can drop in. The Grand Lobby is free space, so people can drop in there. They can watch Take This Hammer. They can watch the unedited version of the film along with other films and a timeline that was produced by the Bay Area Society for Art and Activism. They can also sit down at a coloring station that has printouts from Ori's work, and they can chill out there and color the pages if they want, or take them away. And every time I go into the galleries, there's people sitting there coloring. Hmm. Every time I go in, walk into the gallery, even on a quiet day, I'll find someone standing in front of Ori's work. And so I think that Ori's work is extremely salient right now. There's so much happening in San Francisco and across the country in response to police brutality and rising, escalating public violence. We've just seen the conclusion of the Frisco Five's ongoing hunger strike. We also have another hunger strike going on right now in San Francisco, the Third World Liberation Front 2016 at San Francisco State.
And that one's over ethnic studies.
And that's over the maintenance of the ethnic studies program, which is what San Francisco State initiated that program and changed culture across the country and is now contemplating removing that program. And there are students who are sort of taking up the cause and are leading a hunger strike to maintain that. And so we have these issues in public life that are raising awareness around the issues that are in the work in the show. And so people are coming in and they're really understanding the relevance of the exhibition, what it's meant to get them thinking about. I think people are also thinking about how they can respond in their own way, which was really a big hope for me in organizing the show, was to think about how anyone can respond with whatever their skills are.
Christian Frock is a guest curator at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts for the exhibit Take This Hammer, Art and Media Activism in the Bay Area. It runs through August 14th. Ori Original is an Oakland-based artist working across painting, printing, and digital media. He's committed to the social transformation of marginalized communities and promoting justice for people killed by police. Fabiana Rodriguez is an artist, cultural organizer, and political activist based in Oakland. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you've seen the exhibit, what are your opinions about the many, many issues that it explores? Gentrification, immigration, gun violence, war, the environment, racial justice. We do a lot of shows on Your Call about the power of art. So if you have any comments about the role that art plays at a time when we've got so many things happening, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And Fabiana, I've also been a fan of your work, so I'm really glad you're on today. And you have focused on so many different issues: migration, economic inequality. I love the work that you do around sexuality and abortion and women's rights. And before the show, we were saying that sometimes we, at Your Call, kind of think, all right, what do we want to focus on this week or next week? Because there's so many things going on. So as an artist, how do you deal with that? And how do you decide where you want to put your focus?
Well, recently I've been putting my focus on pleasure and on joy. And I think that, I mean, just listening right now, you were reading off that list and you said war, injustice, death, police brutality. And I one thing is that when we say social justice and we say movement, I think that we overwhelmingly position ourselves by what we're fighting against, and I think that that's a losing position. I think a winning position is around embracing the full spectrum of all the emotions that we're going to experience, not just loss and not just suffering, but also empowerment, joy, pleasure, because those are also the things that we deserve. We deserve the full human experience. That's why we fight for human rights. And so what I'm exploring in my work now is really understanding the full experience of being human and the way in which people of color and women are often portrayed in our culture through a very two-dimensional lens. Often that could be very racist, it could be very sexist, but that also limits our own imaginations in terms of what's possible. And I'm exploring work around really expanding and honoring the complexity of everything that we are, and I don't even want to say fighting for, but everything that we want in order to live just lives in order to just be human, not have to be restricted by gender or by race. So my current piece is called Pleasure is Power, and it is about joy. It's about being visionary. It's about imagined futures and possibility. And showing, you know, the full complexity of who we are. One thing about Ori that I actually really attracted me to his work in the beginning is that Ori does these amazing abstract paintings. And I think that in the body of work, when we think of social justice artists, sometimes we think of only one way their art shows up, but that's actually incorrect. Artists can be some of the most versatile people around, and they can explore abstraction and color and shape and landscapes and composition. And that is also something that we need to be doing as artists. It's not just the white men, the Picassos, the Rembrandts, the Matisse who get to have a conversation on color and form. You know, we also have something to, we're also part of that conversation. So I encourage everyone as well to really look at the full body of work of the artists in the show. I mean, the work that they're producing is complex and really powerful.
There is a Justice and Equity Index as part of this exhibit, which is compiled by Jeff Chang. And Faviano, when you give talks, you often talk about how, you know, who decides what is art? Who decides mm-hmm. what is good art? Who decides what's in a museum, for example? And Jeff, in this amazing Justice and Equity Index, teaches us that the percentage of U.S. art museum leadership positions currently filled by non-Hispanic whites is 84%. The percentage of board member positions of nonprofit arts and cultural organizations currently filled by whites is 91%.
Yes. And if you're looking at art critics, it's 98%.
98.
Yeah. And this is what I'm talking about is that the way – so I think that in a way like the frame of social justice or the frame of feminism or even the frame of the art produced by people of color artists – while it's important, sometimes it could also be limiting. And so I think that in these shows, that's why I love this show so much, because it really is expansive. It's surprising. And also when we're dealing with a landscape like that, where the cultural power is overwhelming. I mean, we're talking about in the 90%. I mean, who is there studying the impacts of our work? Who even has the lens to understand the implications of where we're coming from, what content we're representing, and how it's going to impact? It's just not there. And as a result, you create an even more tiered and exclusive system that is going to make it harder for queer women of color artists and overall artists of color.
Christian, can you talk about that and talk about, as a curator, what has your experience been like?
Well, my experience has been what Jeff describes in the Justice and Equity Index. And I am personally, I mean, I am a white, cisgendered curator and writer. I am, I guess, part of the 2%. I never thought I was part of a percentage like that. But I'm interested in art from a different perspective than a lot of my peers. I'm really interested in the social framework for looking at how artists are responding to life. I'm less interested in a theoretical framework or a canonical framework. It's not interesting to me, and so my work has always veered towards social issues and what the framework is for that, what the political framework is for that, and also the artists that are responding, how they're coming to the work and the different tactics that they're using. And so I think that may be one reason why the exhibition is surprising. I'm interested in the full range of possibility. I'm interested in everything. I talk about this in my essay. From changing your profile picture, that nascent little gesture of sort of beginning to have a political voice, to, you know, the women who did the Say Her Name protest with the Blackout Collective last year, standing topless in the financial district protesting the deaths of black women by police brutality. I'm interested in all of that. And so when you have an expansive view like that, you bring in way more mm-hmm. than whatever art history is dictating to you, which is, you know, inherently biased. And so it's pretty limited. And the debate around what is art or what isn't art, I always go back to the fact that we embraced a urinal in the canon 100 years ago. SF MoMA has it on display, one of them on display, Duchamp's Fountain. And so once we went there, I think everything's open for interpretation.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Christian Frock is a guest curator at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts for the exhibit Take This Hammer, Art and Media Activism in the Bay Area. You can see it now until August 14th. Be sure to check yourcallradio.org for a little preview. We're also joined by two artists showing in Take This Hammer. Faviana Rodriguez is an artist, cultural organizer, and political activist based in Oakland. Her art and projects address issues like migration, economic inequality, gender justice, and ecology. What do we want the world to really look like? Ori Original is an Oakland-based artist working across painting, printing, and digital media. He is committed to the social transformation of marginalized communities and promoting justice for people killed by police. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
If I had a
I'm Matt Martin, general manager of KALW, here with Laura Flynn, producer of Your Call, taking a moment in the middle of this conversation, which would only happen on KALW and only happens because people get involved in one of these two times of the year when we ask for your support. We're in our May campaign. It's our 75th year on the air, and we're trying to make this a big one for local public radio. Be the next person to support Your Call and local public radio with a click or a call. You can go to 800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. Or click the donate button at KALW.org.
Your Call is about finding different, creative, and fun ways to engage in the issues of our time.
And it happens because listeners make it possible.
That's right.
And your support right now, the kind of engagement we're asking, this is participatory media. It's not something that someone else makes happen. It's something we do together. A call or a click makes it happen.
You can donate now at KALW.org or call 800-525-9917. Again, that's 800-525-9917.
Where else are you going to hear these voices having this conversation? And then the lines are open to you to be part of it. That is what we make happen when you support local public radio and you have a voice in it. You get to say what you think, to ask your questions, to put them forward, and to tell us, here's what matters to me. We're locally based. We depend on your support. We ask for your call now.
And again, you can do that at KALW.org or call 800-525-9917. Again, that's 800-525-9917.
KALW.org. Thank you so much for your support.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today, we are talking about an exhibit at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. Take This Hammer takes on a number of some of the most pressing issues that we're facing here in the Bay Area and across the country. Massive displacement, eviction threats, police shootings, incarceration. But as one of the artists, Fabiana Rodriguez, points out, yes, we have to talk about these issues, but we also want to talk about the world that we want to create. And we're talking today with Fabiana Rodriguez. She's an artist, organizer, and political activist based in Oakland. Christian Frock is the guest curator at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts exhibit, Take This Hammer, Art and Media Activism, showing now until August 14th. And Ari Original is an Oakland-based artist working across painting, printing, and digital media who is committed to the transformation of marginalized communities and promoting justice for people killed by police. In fact, you've probably seen some of Ari's prints. Justice for Tyrone West, for example, he has portraits of a lot of black men and women who've been killed or have been the subject of racism and oppression. Trayvon Martin, Alex Nieto, Jordan Davis, Eric Garner. Unfortunately, the list goes on. And we'd love to hear from you. We do a lot of shows about art and activism. We do shows about artists who are struggling to stay in the Bay Area. And we'd love to hear from you on this topic. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. The one thing that sometimes I forget to ask when we do these shows, because there's calls and there's so much going on, is what really drives you all to do this work? Because, you know, sometimes you're bringing in projects and making money, and sometimes you're not. And rents are off the chart. I mean, we're all being affected by evictions or the possibility of evictions, or we know someone who is. So, Ari, what really drives you to do this work?
I grew up in L.A., and I grew up in the hood, you know, like gang activity and whatnot, and that, of course, brings the occupation of my neighborhood of a police. So that's what I grew up always seeing, police messing with my friends going to jail and whatnot. So I grew up with I guess a bit of contempt, but also just mistrust of police, knowing that they could be kind of shady as well. So when I moved out to the Bay Area, I started to realize more so that there really was a deep problem with the way that police interact with the community, more specifically with killings, because when I moved out here, it was shortly after Oscar Grant was killed. So then when the Black Lives Matter movement started, that really inspired me to do something about it, and I chose to do work on police killings because that's where the conversation was at, and it still is right now with folks like Alex Nieto, Mario Woods, Almircar Perez, Luis Congora Pat, who were killed out here in San Francisco.
What when you talk to your friends who you grew up with in L.A., what is their response to the work that you're doing?
I don't really keep up with my friends much in L.A., so I
– Or what about your family?
I don't really talk to them about my art either.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. That's something that I have to figure out, but I have quite a disconnect with friends and family members in L.A., which, yeah, it's kind of tough sometimes.
Mm. Well, I can relate to that. I mean, I think it's also because, I mean, Ori's parents and my parents are both immigrants, and, you know, the often in the immigrant narrative, it's about success through being a lawyer or a doctor, and those of us who choose art careers are often do so with great our families are often not very happy. They don't understand what we're doing. They're just like, why are you wasting your time on that, you know, silly stuff that's really not going to help us as a family? So I think, I mean, I grew up in the same thing where my parents didn't understand what I was doing until I was 27 years old. And then it finally clicked. So I think it's a reflection also that in our communities, there's just – we don't get exposed to the powerful role of arts and culture. And as a result, a lot of our friends and families and our community members don't necessarily see – the value in it, but it's very, very different than if you were growing up in a family who took you to museums when you were growing up. I mean, I didn't have that experience. I don't know if your family took you to museums.
No. Museums, mine didn't either. Yeah. And so, my parents are equally bewildered.
Yeah. So your family finally realized what you were doing when you were 27, and what was their response back then? What is it now?
Well, they were mad at me for dropping out of school when I was 21 years old. I dropped out of UC Berkeley with a full ride. I mean, I was a 4.3 student, AP honor rolls.
First generation
college student. I had all the glory, all the, you know, honor roll status. But once I got to college and I really tasted freedom, I realized that I had to be honest with myself about what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, by the time you're 3 years into college, trying to get into an art school is really tough. So I left, and, you know, going back to the earlier question around what drives you, I was really thinking about that. And for me, it's that I really want to experience beauty. I want to create beauty and just really feel free. Freedom and feeling emancipated is very important to me, and I'm the first generation that can do that. I'm the first woman in my family who doesn't have to get married, has full access to reproductive care, so I can not have kids. I don't have to have a kid even if I get pregnant. And it just means that I can really pursue my dreams, you know, and so I feel like that's what drives me, is the fact that I can be whoever I want, you know, even piss off my family members, but whatever. It's also creating role models, because I didn't have that role model besides Frida Kahlo. I mean, I didn't hear about another Latina woman artist until I was, you know, college educated after 4 years, besides Frida Kahlo. And like, so just the ability to become an example to, so that, you know, the next generation of young kids of color growing up can be artists. They have permission to be artists, and that they get full support from their families. Mm.
I love the way you put that. The first generation of a woman in your family who can be whatever she wants to be and doesn't have to have children.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Oh, cool. Yes.
But what's so interesting about you is not only did your family find out that you were an artist at 27, but I mean, you gave a TED talk about sexuality, about sex, about abortion. Yeah. So you just went all in.
Yeah, I came out to the public about my abortion before I came out to my parents. But that's, you know, I mean, it's tough. I feel like for me, being an artist is, a lot of it is around being public and being authentic with your experiences. We're storytellers as artists. We share a lot. That's why we're artists. And having to take that into our own families is a big challenge, but that's where I think the real work is, to be able to tell your families, you know, hey, I have had an abortion, and I don't regret it. My mom actually, her firstborn, he was adopted out because she could not take care of him. So imagine the conversation we had when I told her I had an abortion, and she, you know, she wasn't very supportive. But nevertheless, it's critical. It's I think that art has given me especially the ability to be courageous and unapologetic.
Hmm. That is Faviana Rodriguez. She's an artist, organizer, and activist based in Oakland, and her work is shown in the Take This Hammer exhibit at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. It runs through August 14th. I hope you can see it. You can also see Ori Original's portraits of young men and women who have either been killed by police or have been oppressed. Ori is an artist working across painting, printing, and digital media. And his goals are to promote social transformation of marginalized communities and justice for people killed by police. And this exhibit is curated also by today's guest, Christian Frock. Christian is an independent curator, writer, and educator. And what about you, Christian? What really drives you to do this work?
I for a long time, have always been working with artists and have been committed to just supporting artists and really interested in artists' ideas and the ways that artists sort of document the wrongs, rectify things, in many ways provide citizen journalism in contemporary times and for much longer than that, really. I'm also a mother, so I think a lot about the world that I want to live in, the kind of world I want my children to live in. I also think a lot about what I want my children to see as values in my work. I often think about my kids coming back to my work later at some point when I'm gone, and it's all there. Everything I want them to know, everything I want them to fight for is all there. The instructions are there. This is how you go forth and you shape the world.
Hmm.
And, you know, so it's on a lot, you know, what I want for my kids and what I want for my friends' kids, what kind of world we want to live in. Also, just wanting to work with artists, wanting to work on the side of artists. Whenever anything disastrous happens in the world, which is daily, I go online looking to see how artists respond. Mm. And within 24 hours, I can find something, usually in social media. This is why social media plays a big role in the exhibition as well. And that sort of response, a first responder going in, artist going in, and, you know, Ori making this work. I, like you, saw Ori's work long before I knew who was making the work, and seeing it in these different contexts. You know, I've saw it in Erica Garner's Bernie Sanders endorsement video. I've seen it on the sales of boats in McCovey Cove when the Giants were in the playoffs. The work had this amazing life. It wasn't about Ori's authorship, which I think is amazing. It was about making this statement and having it go out into the world, and how far could it go? That kind of thing is really exciting to me, yeah. That sort of influence that artists can have. And that's the thing that drives the work for me.
Well, if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Today we are talking about art and activism. We'd love to hear from you. I know we have a lot of artists who are listeners, people who appreciate what artists bring to the world, especially right now. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's talk a little bit about the power of social media and the work that you all do. Ori, I was just having a conversation with a friend about just how social media has really changed not only our awareness of what's going on with police violence, but our opinion, because we are now videotaping things as they are happening. This is not new, but it is new to a lot of people who either didn't know it was happening or didn't want to know it was happening. So can you talk a little bit about that, just the power of social media and raising awareness about the issues that you focus on?
Well, social media plays a big part in my awareness. Well, I mean, that's where I get all my information. I mean, I'm always on the computer, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and that's where I come across these stories of people being killed, and then that's how I end up working on a piece. So, social media has had a big part in my awareness of these issues. Yeah.
And then your portraits of these young men and women, I mean, people are using them as their Facebook profiles, on Twitter. It's just incredible to see how people are using your portraits on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And you want people to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's part of the way that these designs are intended to be disseminated primarily online, because it's a project that's based online. So folks use them as their default pick on Facebook and whatnot. From that to putting them on shirts and wearing them when they go to work or whatever it may be, banners, projections on government buildings. And it all starts from social media.
Hmm. Faviana, what about you? What do you think about the power of social media? I was watching the TED Talk you gave talking about your abortion and thinking about how social media has really encouraged a lot of women to come out and talk about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been very empowering, but it's also been very scary because the level of harassment that's happening around, especially for people who are coming out about their abortion. It's extreme, actually. I mean, there's one of the woman who started in Seattle, Shout Your Abortion hashtag, actually had to relocate, if not move out of her home, I think, just because of the harassment. And I've experienced similar harassment. But one thing, you know, I remember email being invented by transition, I mean, not invented, but being popularized in my last year of high school. And I remember the power of having a desktop computer that you can create your own images on and like Photoshop 1.0. And just remembering that now there was going to be a shift in how people could use these tools. So I think that for me as an artist, what it's allowed is to create platforms that anyone can access. And that are really autonomous. It's really created a more democratic space. That's why, to me, you know, things like net neutrality, the free internet, like we really have to understand media justice in order, if we care about the internet, we have to also care about net neutrality, which is basically the ability to have one internet and not a tiered internet, which is what some corporations want. So it not only is it allowed to share story, but it also allows people to rapidly convene to shame and to push for real change. So, for example, the Oscar So White, the fact that it was a popularized hashtag and that it was blowing up on Twitter and Facebook actually ended up forcing the Oscars to rethink and respond and eventually to create a plan, a very slow plan, I may add, to change the makeup of their jury.
Hmm. Christian, what would you add?
Oh, it's so exciting. I think social media is really exciting. As much as it's complicated and also, you know, surveillance and corporate overlords and commerce and all of those things. In the time that I've been really looking at how social media impacts artists' abilities to leverage their voice and also to form coalitions online, and it's probably been about seven years that I've been really looking at this. And in that same time, I've managed to develop connections and networks and relationships, real networks and relationships with people in other parts of the world and other countries, places where I don't even actually speak the same language, and to find like-minded people. And so I talk a little bit about this in my essay as well in the brochure, which, listeners, you can get your own brochure for free in the Grand Lobby. I want you to know that. You can just pop in there and get it. You don't have to pay admittance, but you'll want to. You'll want to go into the show.
And it's an amazing brochure.
Yeah. We have an essay from Rebecca Solnit in there as well as my essay and Jeff Chang's. But I talk about some other examples. I mean, you bring up Oscar So White, Favi. I talk about the sort of crowd correcting online that happened when the Komen Foundation wanted to defund Planned Parenthood and how that was just a matter of days. I mean, there wasn't even in the time that that was reversed, that decision, there wasn't even really time to print T-shirts and meet up and paint our signs. The internet handled it. And you know, there's other great examples. I loved when people went online and they posted Amazon reviews on Avery binders in response to Mitt Romney's gaffe over binders full of women. And you found like 13,000 reviews sort of critiquing and satirizing his comment from people who'd gone online onto Amazon. So there's all these great ways to subvert. You know, there's typical platforms and then there's all these other types of platforms. I've seen people using Craigslist to post, to publish their own political statements. I've seen some really amazing things happening with Yelp and all across the board.
And Jeff Chang, in this Justice and Equity Index, according to the data that he's compiled, the percentage of white internet users who use Twitter in 2014, 21%. The percentage of Latino internet users who use Twitter, 25% more than whites, and the percentage of black internet users who use Twitter, 27%.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in many ways, it provides this even playing field in terms of participation in public dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not entirely even. I mean, not everyone has access to the internet. Not everyone has access to computers. But it's in many ways, it's much more democratic than actual public space.
I just didn't know that these percentages were so high. The number of tweets about Trayvon Martin in the first month after he was killed, 4.7 million. Number of tweets using hashtag Ferguson in the first 8 days after Michael Brown was killed, 8.3 million. Now, I know that some of our listeners don't use social media, and probably some of them don't have computers. What would you say to the people who are skeptical of social media and say that it's sort of armchair activism? Because I bet we have some 60s activists who are hearing this kind of saying, I'm not sure about that.
Well, first, I mean, I believe I'm a big believer in online organizing. I think that it's another way of communicating. And I mean, the online organizing has gotten people fired, big people in power fired. It's called out. It's required companies to do public apologies. It's shined a light on inequality. It's a very, very powerful tool. And it's equally as powerful as convening. What Christian said is just right. In the amount of seconds, minutes that you could get an issue out there and get people aware of it, it's a ladder of engagement. You know, the beginning is for people to know and understand and hear it from the right sources, and then to take action, and then to show up, of course, because I think that it's the ability to capture someone's imagination and attention and then move them along so that they become more deeply engaged.
Before we end, I wanted to talk about one of the other installations in the exhibit. It's A Living Chance, Storytelling to End Life Without Parole. And speaking of using social media to give a voice to people who don't have access to the microphone, for example, this is amazing because there are so many postcards of portraits, drawings of women behind bars. Can you talk about this exhibit? How did you find out about it, this installation?
This is Adrian Sky Roberts, an artist who I've done other projects with and have known for a while. And Adrian has been working with the Women's Prisoners Coalition now for some time and has been doing oral history, gathering narratives from these women who are serving life without parole. When I invited her to participate in the exhibition, it was on the strength of a comment that she had made to me the year before, telling me that this was the most meaningful work of her life that she was doing. And I get chills even just remembering her saying that, because I think that there's so much value in understanding that this can be the most meaningful work of your life, you know, that you're doing right now, this thing that you do that isn't your day job, that isn't even your breadwinning work, right? And so there are 9 site-specific commissions in the exhibition. That means basically that these artists were invited to come in and make work for the show based on their past work. In Favi's case, I asked her to come do the biggest piece she's ever done. I said, come take over the big wall. Do the biggest thing you've ever done. Very exciting to watch that unfold. And so with Adrian, she wanted to do something that wasn't specifically limited to their website, which is undergoing some change. And so she wanted to think about how the work that she is doing, how that could be relayed in different media. And so we created actually a telephone number where you can call in and listen to the stories. You can download a free smartphone app for her project, which also has additional materials online. And then in the gallery, we have a beautiful pedestal that was designed by Tessa Freeman at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. And the pedestal presents 8 postcards, which feature portraits of these women and also their own personal stories on the back. And so it's a really engaging, complex project based on storytelling. It's new directions for storytelling. It's an experiment. Mm. It's okay to try something out.
I mean, it's just amazing. Anna writes on the back of the postcard of her portrait, "I never realized the chain of events that would take place to make this possible. I am a survivor of domestic abuse and shapes my story, and I share my story in hopes it will help someone."
Yeah.
Really powerful. The Take This Hammer exhibit at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts is running now until August 14th. Christian Frock is the guest curator, and I hope you can check it out. You will also see art by two of our Guest today, Faviana Rodriguez, is an artist in Oakland, and Ori Original is also an artist in Oakland. Yes, final thoughts,
yes,
Faviana?
Yes, and the work of Culture Strike is actually also in the show, and there's a number of undocumented artists who are showing their work on climate change and on borders, so just also that the issues we're engaging in, you know, climate, inequality, borders, is very inclusive and expansive.
Yes. Well, and it runs through August 14th. I hope you can check it out. Christian, Faviana, and Ori, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thanks for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.
And I'm Matt Martin, general manager of KALW, just sitting here with my wheels turning, based on what I've been hearing in this conversation that Rose has been having with her guests who are involved with this great exhibition that's going on right now at the Yerba Buena Center of the Arts. And we are in our May campaign here at KALW. When we ask you to support these kinds of conversations where we get to partner with local arts organizations, to partner with the great artists and musicians and thinkers of the Bay Area, and to bring them on the air for conversations that would not exist if it weren't for listener-supported radio. The number that you can call to support this kind of programming is 800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. Or you can go to kalw.org. We do have two pairs of tickets to offer as thank you gifts for your support for KALW at the $120 pledge level, $120, and this is on the phone only. We'll give you a pair of tickets to see the Take This Hammer exhibition at the Yerba Buena Arts Center, and that is right now in this hour only, available in the phone room, 800-525-9917, or you can go to kalw.org and give at any level of support. You keep this kind of programming strong.
800-525-9917 or kalw.org. Thank you so much for all of your support. We've had a really good morning so far. Thank you for supporting Your Call. We could not do these shows without you, and I still have in studio Faviana Rodriguez and Christian Falk. Faviana is an artist. Her work is being shown in the exhibit Take This Hammer, and Christian Falk is the guest curator. And Christian and Favia, you are both big fans of independent local radio.
Yes, absolutely.
Huge.
Faviana, what role do you think it should plays?
Well, I'm really excited, especially about KALW, just because of the showcasing you do of artists. The artists are all up and down the programming here. I mean, I've been here already like 5 times in the last year, and just really grateful that there's space for artists to be at the table and to share our stories, to talk about what impacts us. And I especially love, you know, public radio, because we're able to talk about the things that most affect us, and we're able to talk about all our experiences, both the stuff that makes us really joyful and the stuff that is hurting our communities.
Well, we think shows about art and artists is so important, and we have an hour to do this, and we are committed to it. We do it consistently, and if you appreciate that kind of programming where we give a voice to artists and we talk about what's happening in the Bay Area, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-9917. You can also go online to kalw.org. And Christian, what about you? What are your thoughts on a station like KALW and independent local radio?
Oh, enormously important, especially as you see the mainstream media becoming increasingly corporate-minded and nervous about critiquing corporations, nervous about critiquing change. And so public media is exactly where it's at when you want to talk about these things without worrying about offending a sponsor or worrying about offending somebody in power. So it's vital.
And so for $120, we will send you a pair of tickets. We've got two pairs left. You can give us a call at 800-525-9917. This is an amazing exhibit. I hope you can check it out. You can also go online to kalw.org. Matt?
Thanks, Rose. 800-525-9917, kalw.org. Hearing Faviana and Christian talk about the role that public media can play. Yes, that opportunity to say, you know what? We need to be able to talk freely amongst ourselves about what is important. That's what happens on Your Call I mean, we have a lot of conversations in our editorial meetings, and thinking about offending sponsors is not one of the things that comes up. What we talk about is what is important. What is the way we can approach questions in a different way? That's what these artists do through their work, and it's what you make possible when you call. We're keeping the programming uninterrupted, unfettered. That's how we want it. But we need you to show your support now. You can get yourself a pair of tickets. But at any level of support, you make a difference and you say, I want to participate in an alternative. 800-525-9917 or KALW.org.
800-525-9917 or KALW.org. We are committed to continuing shows about art and culture in the Bay Area. We just did a show about dance a couple of weeks ago. That is why independent local radio is so important. 800-525-9917 or KALW.org.
Thanks for supporting KALW San Francisco.